What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, guys, the Miami Marlins have made sports history today, and not in a way that many would have expected. They promoted Caroline O'Connor to the role of President of Business Operations, making them the first U.S. major sports franchise with women holding the roles of President and GM. Of course, Kim Ng was named GM in November of 2020. O'Connor is going to handle the off-the-field business while Ng continues to run the team on the field. And if you guys remember, O'Connor was initially hired by then-CEO Derek Jeter back in 2017 to serve as senior VP and chief of staff, and she was promoted to COO in 2019. So the Marlins now have the two highest-ranking women in any MLB front office and are leading the way for all of pro sports. So that's what you need to know.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Doesn't that provide inspiration, ladies?
It does. And what I would add for the ladies is that if I were Kim Ng, and what was the young lady's name who's now the president?
Caroline O'Connor.
Caroline O'Connor. I would urge their owner to spend more money so they can actually win ball games.
See, I look at these two ladies as very inspirational because, one, I've got three daughters, and I want to be able to say to them, you could be a GM of a Major League Baseball team. And two, the second reason is now is what I'm going to bring it home right here, George, is this gets back to my old Jeff Saturday argument. I got a shot, man.
You want to replace Brandon Staley.
I would like an opportunity to be an NFL head coach, and I want to be taken very seriously about this.
But you're not a woman.
No, I realize that, but...
I don't get the connection. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, and you're also not a guy who played in the NFL as a Pro Bowl-like player.
All fair points. I will accept all of those things. I'm neither female, nor am I a former Pro Bowler, and I'm not a Super Bowl champion. But a fresh set of eyes and a new perspective and some outside-of-the-box thinking, George, you just need the right owner. Jim Irsay was the right owner. I got to find whoever the next Jim Irsay is.
Well, I don't.
Well, look, I do think. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Linz.
I was gonna say I don't mean to like pull you off of your soapbox, Cappy, but I don't think that hiring a woman to run a baseball team should be considered out of the box. I feel like that should just be like a normal thing.
Well, let me ask you a question: how many women are running Major League Baseball teams?
No, this is the first.
That's why it's considered out of the box.
I know. The Mariners have a woman as their GM. But this is the first where they've had both a president and
right, the
GM.
Pair. Yeah.
So wait, so the Mariners have a female GM also?
Yes.
The Marlins and the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
You know, MLB is also doing stuff like I just saw this a few weeks ago. They're having like a business symposium for women trying to get into like the baseball operations part.
That's great.
Because they don't, you know, and they have, you have to like apply for it and everything, but they don't really have stuff like that where you can try and like develop and further your career on that end for like specifically
women.
Yeah,
and I don't know if Jess Mendoza is still a consultant for the Mets, but she was for a while. So,
Cappy, maybe by the time your girls are done with college and they're ready to like look for jobs, maybe it won't be so outside the box.
You know, I don't know if I told you guys this, but my buddy Alex Van Pelt, who's the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, first Cleveland alert of the show.
Yep.
Yeah, no relation to Scott.
Nope. He has an assistant coach on the staff who's like an offensive assistant, and she works with their whole offensive staff. And I remember I was talking to her earlier this season going, hey, tell me the story. How'd you get here? And she starts reading off this resume. I was the head coach of this football team, and I was the head coach of this. And of course, it's no league that any of us have ever seen or heard of, but she worked in the industry of football, and now she's coaching inside the Cleveland Browns organization.
And
so
you want to know what about her? Her name's Callie Bronson or Brownson.
Yep, that sounds right.
She, I would argue that she's probably one of the most, if not the most popular coach on the staff, on Stefanski's staff. Like the players love her.
Well, she came out to do the post-game tailgate with us and hung out with us for quite a while, and I got to like her myself.
Oh, she's like a woman of the people, just like you, Cap.
Yeah.
There you go. She can win a Mandy too next year with you. You can go up on stage together.
That would be wonderful.
There you go. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right, Laura, hit it. Monday afternoon quarterback. Eat it, Bergman. Here we go.
He just looked in here like, what the hell?
What did I do? Know. Why are you
just
calling
felt
me
like
out?
Saying it. Eat it, Bergman. I haven't said it in a long time, actually, either. So there's that. Cappy, here we go. Yeah,
go ahead.
Big games this week that didn't involve the teams we talk about every day. Bills Vikings, which you went out for a run for, but eventually came back and actually saw it. Who are you buying more as a Super Bowl contender? The Vikings or the Bills?
Vikings
8-1? Oh, really?
Yep.
Why is that?
Look, the Vikings have never really been successful with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. And there's this statistic about primetime games, and he can't win in primetime.
Yeah,
and chances are when you get to the postseason, you're looking at primetime games. I think that what the Vikings did by getting rid of their former coach, Zimmer, who was a defensive-minded coach, and going with Kevin O'Connell, the former Rams offensive coordinator, they've become more offensive-minded as an organization. And I think he's getting the best from Kirk Cousins, and they probably have the best receiver who probably made the best catch in the history of the NFL this past weekend.
I mean, certainly in degree of difficulty, it's either him or David Tyree in my estimation. But I'm going to still say the Bills, okay? Because while I do think the Bills have a fatal flaw, which is they don't have a great running game outside of their quarterback running the ball, like their running backs, they just don't. I don't know if it's their offensive line that's not that good, or their running backs are just not that good, or maybe both, but they are really bad at running the ball, which is why when you don't run the ball well and you don't trust your running backs, you end up fumbling in the end zone and causing your demise, basically. So I still think it's the Bills, though, only because when they're right, they may be the most talented team in football, arguably. And I still think they're going to get in the playoffs. They may just have to do it on the road, although they're only, a half game back in Miami. They should still be fine. But the Vikings, to me, here's my issue with the Vikings. While I do love Kevin O'Connell, San Diego State, right? He was Kirk Morrison's quarterback, if I recall correctly.
That's right.
And when Kirk was there at San Diego State. But their margin of victory, while I don't think it's the ultimate end-all, be-all, is not great. Plus 35 is the second lowest point differential for a team at 8-1 in NFL history. The first was the 76 Raiders, who actually did win the Super Bowl. But the next, five are teams that either got bounced early in the first round. Some even didn't make the playoffs for one reason or another. So I'm not buying that, despite, the historical nugget is not great. And I just don't believe in Kirk Cousins.
Well George, but I'm going to look at that exact number you just gave. I'm going to look at it the opposite way, which is you're winning close games.
Right. Yeah, you know who won close games last year?
Tell me.
The Raiders.
Okay, they made the playoffs.
Right, but they didn't go anywhere.
Right, but Derek Carr is not as good as Kirk Cousins, and I happen to think that Kevin O'Connell is a...
Really? I mean, I think that I think Kirk Cousins is better, but I don't think it's exponentially better.
No, I mean, they're both guys who have really big... Listen, both guys are kind of like what Matthew Stafford was before he got to the Rams.
Oh,
they're guys that put up big numbers, and they don't have wins to show for it. That's the class of quarterback they were in. Stafford elevated out of that by winning a Super Bowl.
I would also, again, more subjectivity and nuance here. I would say that Stafford, bigger arm than both of them. So I think that separates him from them, in my estimation, even pre-Rams.
You can have a bigger arm, but the results are still the results.
Yeah, but he also played for the Lions. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, the Vikings and the Raiders have been pretty terrible.
The Raiders are right
there with the Vikings have not been a terrible franchise. They have been a good franchise, actually.
Yeah, it was an amazing game, and I'll just say this.
Amazing!
The way Josh Allen and that fumble happened, that is going to go down in the annals of NFL history.
Annals!
That's right. That's a good NFL word. That's like an NFL films word right there. Yeah. It's not something you use every day amongst your friends. But when you're talking about classic NFL... annals, okay? That game, that play will go down as one of the biggest shock moments. How could you possibly fumble that snap, and how could they score a touchdown when they couldn't score with their offense?
Great game. I feel like Chris is going to give you an annals in the next rejoin, if I had to guess. But anyway, Cowboys-Packers, has Green Bay figured something out, or is Dallas in deep trouble?
I don't want to say that Green Bay has figured anything out other than they had an amazing performance by a wide receiver who, when he scored his third touchdown, stood there in the end zone and went 1, 2, 3. Christian Watson, 4 catches, 107 yards, 3 touchdowns. Amazing day.
What school did he go to?
Oh, gosh, you may have gotten me there.
3.
Small school.
2.
North Dakota State.
North Dakota State is correct.
Yeah.
You almost screwed up by saying North Texas.
I know, and that was my way of throwing the dogs in a different direction because I was actually looking at it on my computer.
Oh, you cheater.
Yeah.
North
Dakota State.
Yeah, I think Dallas is in deep doo-doo, okay? Let me tell you a stat that I found today when I was doing ATH. The Cowboys in the Dak Prescott era, when their pass to run balance is out of whack by over 60% to 40%. Like when they throw the ball more than 60% of the time, they are 9-30 in the Dak Prescott era. Do you want to know when they're under 60% passing in their pass to run ratio. Do you want to know what the record is?
30-9.
47-7.
Wow.
I mean, come on. And here's the other thing. Their defense was incredible the first couple of weeks of the year. But now we're starting to see the last 2 weeks, they've given up over 200 yards. We're starting to see holes in that defense. And that's how you keep that defense in check, neutralizing them by running the ball. I think the Cowboys are in deep, deep doo-doo.
I never liked the Dak Prescott signing coming off the injury, because Dak Prescott is kind of, to me, in that same category. He's a really good player. He puts up big numbers. Oftentimes, it's because he has 46 pass attempts like he did yesterday.
Yep.
But the fact is, they're not really winning. So I didn't understand the Dak Prescott signing. The Cowboys are about offensive line and running backs. But I don't know. I'm not ready to buy into Green Bay just yet, although they did prove, hey, when Aaron Rodgers is right, when his head's in the game, I mean, they can still make explosive plays.
Yeah, and they ran the ball much better yesterday, too, which helps. So, next, Dolphins and Browns. Sorry, Lindsay. Is Tua Tagovailoa a real MVP candidate? And if so, where would you have him?
So, I love Tua. I really do. I know so many people were down on Tua coming into the season. I was not one of those people, because I kept saying, but he's been hurt from the time he left Alabama through his first two seasons in the NFL. He's been hurt. He also did not have the weapons that he's got now.
Oh, my God. He's got the best duo in the sport.
Yeah, between Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, you've got two really great deep threat playmaking wide receivers. Is Tua an MVP candidate? Yes, because he's a quarterback. But to me, Tyreek Hill is the big game changer of that Dolphins team this year. But I would put Tua in the top five, I mean, because he surprised everybody. 2 years of mediocrity versus now.
So I would give you that he is a candidate, but I do think he's not even the best candidate on his own roster, to your point. I do think it's Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill has changed that franchise. We are now in an era of wide receivers being the game changers that, you know, for years it was like, oh, it doesn't matter if you have a great wide receiver. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with him. I used to have friends that used to say that. Evan Cohen, if you're listening. And now that's the era we're in. A star wide receiver like a Tyreek Hill is more important than your running back. Your running back no longer as important, although they do have decent running backs there as well. The Dolphins are for real. They're going to the playoffs, barring a Tua injury, I think, at this point.
And just by the way, on the other side of that whole thing, the Browns are 3-6. And this week, when the Browns go on the road to the Houston Texans...
It's not this week. It's 2 weeks from now.
Thank you for that.
Have a bye.
When they do, they bring back Deshaun Watson. You talk about a storyline. Watson comes back for the Browns and plays his first game against his former team in their town.
Yep. All right, that is Monday Afternoon Quarterback. Eat it, Bergman. Coming up next, can the Lakers salvage their season? Can LeBron and AD get on the same page? And if so, how can the Lakers get it going? We'll get to all that coming up next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
That thing.
Yeah.
Watch out. Come on now. About that thing.
Love this song. Love Lauryn Hill.
So, Cappy,
yeah,
do you like a little spicy guacamole, or do you like the regular guacamole?
Preference would be regular guacamole with hot sauce, but not opposed to a spicy guac. What's going on?
Like, remember, because when you and I went to El Cholo, remember, I asked for the tableside guacamole, and then the guy said, do you want jalapenos? Or just light on the jalapenos.
Mm-hmm, I do recall.
Yeah, just a little light. I mean, I like a little, but not like overbearing.
That was the same night, as you might remember, that I had to stop at the Hilton by the John Wayne Airport for 27 minutes.
Yeah, I remember.
Same exact night.
Yeah.
Can't forget that, Cappy. You bring it up all the time.
Well, I mean, it was that's what happened. We were over there having lunch. You know, and then George had them put in a little bit of jalapeno and then 27 minutes at the Hilton.
I mean, I love El Cholo, man. Stuff is delicious.
Yeah. It's good. I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it?
I did. I did indeed. Hey, you know what? I got to tell you guys something. Just a complete left turn from out of nowhere. You ready for this?
Dude, we should have our own version of the Seinfeld sound that Mason in Ireland used. We should find another. Actually, you know what? You do left turn. If we could find like a piece of audio that just has like a car like skidding
That's
as
what
like
I was
it's turning,
say, like right.
Or even a record scratch.
Actually, the car would be great.
Well, I have
because
a record scratch. Hold up,
I like the car better.
Yeah, well, the car works better with this story. Hey, you know what? Today's a very special day in my life.
Oh, I know. I saw this on Instagram.
Yeah. Today's a special day in my life, Georgie.
Yeah, tell me, booby.
I took my daughter for her driver's license this morning at 8 a.m. She passed with a 100% perfect score.
Good job.
That kid is out driving right now.
Yes, and which child is this?
This is Julia, and I've got her on Life 360.
Congratulations.
Yep, I know exactly where she is right now.
Where is she? Because you're tracking her, yes.
That's right, I'm tracking this kid. But now, tomorrow morning, I don't have to drive her to school. Oh, man. This is just, my life is about to change for the better, manana, buddy.
Yeah. How much did your insurance go up?
Exactly that part.
Oh, dude. Oh, dude. I called my insurance on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, so I've got a kid who's about to turn, about to get a driver's license on Monday. They're like, okay, well, that's going to take your premium from whatever it is per 6 months to X plus Y plus Z.
Right. Yeah. So basically, like, well, how much, like, if you had to sign a, send me the numbers and I'll give you like I'll do the percentage increase. How about that?
Yeah. I don't mind telling you the numbers. I mean, it's pretty expensive. I mean, it's really expensive when you got four kids.
Right. And they and you're paying for all their insurance.
Well, yeah. And by the way, stupid me, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Two of my kids are away at college, don't drive, don't have cars.
Yeah. So why are you doing that?
Well, I got that reduced yesterday.
Okay.
So they took off $400 for the two kids that don't drive in college, but they can still drive during holiday breaks and they can still drive during like the summertime and they're insured. But as I saved $400 per 6 months,
you added Julia for like $6,000.
No, it went up. It went up by like $600. So yeah. So the net was like
minus $200. Still.
Right. I was saving $400, and then before you knew it, I was spending $600 more.
Yeah.
So yeah, the insurance not good.
Who do you use?
Geico. You?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
You know what you should do, Cap?
Tell me.
When I got my license and my insurance was really high, they had this little device that you can plug in to your car and it's like your car computer, and it won't penalize you if you drive like, I guess, recklessly or whatever, but it can lower your insurance based on driving habits. So if your daughter is like only driving to like school and back or practice and back or whatever, and she's a careful driver, after like 2 months, I think they evaluate your driving habits and they'll lower your insurance based on if she's a safe driver.
They told me that, as a matter of fact.
You should do it.
All of this was done on the app, and it was done with like a texting,
like a
going
chat.
Back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah, you should do it because it saved me like $50 a month, because when I got my license, my parents made me pay my car insurance.
Yeah, I'd like for her to pay her car insurance, but...
Yeah, no chance that's going to happen, it sounds like.
Nah, not right now. Although she did tell me she's immediately getting her first job, too.
Yeah. Oh, I got news for the Dodgers real quick. You ready?
Yeah.
Before I get to the Lakers, we can get to the Lakers later. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports and The Athletic says in what he's hearing as we're getting ready. Look, we're a couple weeks away from winter meetings, so like everything's going to really heat up here very soon. Ken Rosenthal says they might pursue Justin Verlander if Tyler Anderson rejects or accepts his qualifying offer.
I said last week they should do that.
Yeah.
So Justin Verlander is obviously still a really good pitcher. But how old is Verlander now, you think?
37-ish, 38?
Yeah.
But he's been really, really good. I mean, yes, he struggled in the postseason, but, I mean, I guess it's kind of like the MO for the Dodgers pitchers, right?
Oh, damn,
I don't
girl.
Mean that in a negative way. I'm just saying I feel like, I don't know, like, he's been, I mean, he was like a Cy Young candidate this
past
year.
Well, he was 18-4 with a 1.75 ERA this past year.
I think he just pitches too much. Like, they use him too much. And then by the time the postseason comes around, like, you know, he kind of gets tired.
Yeah, he has dead arm, like, yeah, Scherzer did.
Yeah, and like Kershaw, too.
Yeah, that's that is exactly the name, Scherzer. That's a Scherzer-y thing to say. They used me too much during the regular season. Now, I haven't heard him say it, but it's a theory that Lindsay's bringing up. But I don't dislike the move. You know, I mean, I guess you're probably looking at maybe a two-year deal. I mean, unless he's willing to just sign 1 year for, you know, $25 million or whatever the number would be.
My guess is he signs, like, one of those two-year deals with, like, an out after one. He's 39, actually. He's going to be 40, bro.
Yeah, okay, that changes things a little bit for me.
Yeah. He's
39,
old.
Yeah. He's had a long, long, distinguished career.
Yeah. And by the way, did you see his wife? What's his wife's name, the model?
Kate Upton. She's so pretty.
When they won the World Series, she's beautiful. She was asked by A-Rod and Poppy and those guys, like, hey, do you want him to keep playing? She's like, she did the, people were saying she did the anti-Giselle, where she was like, I support my husband. He can pitch as long as he wants, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, she was like, as long as he's doing what he loves, I support him.
Wow,
yeah.
How about that?
In by the way, you see the TMZ Giselle news rumors, today. Giselle hooking up with a UFC guy.
Well, that's the report.
Yeah.
And the next part of the report was that Tom Brady's kind of pissed. Like, yo, hold on a second. We just got divorced.
Yeah.
And you're already out being seen with other dudes. You're bringing our kids around other guys. What's going on here?
I mean, this is what happens when you, you know, you let a supermodel walk out.
Yeah. I mean, but I will tell you this. I took a long time. I don't know how everybody else feels, but I took a long time before I introduced my kids to the relationship, you know?
No, I'm with you on that part. Yeah.
Well, there's some things floating around the internet that suggest that Tom, at least, might be questioning the timing of this relationship. And something where, like, she posted on social media about, like, her jiu-jitsu session and blah, 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 like, grounding herself and blah, blah, blah. And I guess Tom Brady posted something like, my days of leaving unwashed dishes in the sink are numbered. And then he deleted it.
Well, I'll just say this to all the guys out there. If your girlfriend or wife has a really good guy friend and she runs with him, or she cycles with him, or she does jiu-jitsu with him. Like, and she's like, no, he's just my friend. We just ride bikes together. He's a really good, strong cyclist. You know, he's really strong. Or, hey, your yoga instructor all of a sudden becomes your wife's really, really close friend. When men and women work out together, it has been my experience that they oftentimes then sleep together, because the sleeping together is kind of like a form of exercise. So I'm just putting that out there for everybody. Be careful. Because if, you know, if Giselle was working out with the UFC guy or the MMA guy, and now all of a sudden they're together, who knows what might have been going down.
I mean, I love how you're giving that kind of advice.
Right. You notice how I use the phrase, in my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't need to go any further. I feel like you've already stressed that enough.
Yeah. Just want all these guys to understand that.
Yeah. But Justin Verlander, 1 year deal or nothing. I'm with Robert Watkins, who tweeted in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust.
1 year
40
deal?
Years old, bro.
Yeah, 40.
He'll get two or three from someone.
No mames, man. Come on.
Well, I mean, you look Wait, what the Mets did for Scherzer.
I didn't say anything, Laura.
Okay.
He's fine, Laura. He's fine. He's fine.
I mean, right. if he's a Cy Young candidate and he's 37 and he can still do it, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's going to get at least 2 years.
I'm starting to learn through the LeBron thing. Again, remember, I thought LeBron was superhuman and I never thought we'd see a decline. I never thought we'd see, you know, injuries, nagging injuries every year, probably related to being 38 and almost 38 and tons of wear and tear. But as I'm seeing LeBron in what I think is physical decline, that worries me about other guys, a Matthew Stafford or you know, a Justin Verlander for that
matter. Yeah, of course. He's 40, bro.
I could be wrong, but maybe, Sedano, you'll agree with me. But I think that LeBron, we would not be seeing these effects so much from LeBron if the Lakers were winning.
Oh, if you mean like if he had a better team around him?
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of takes his foot off the gas in situations like this.
Well, I think LeBron always kind of eases his way into the season as he's gotten older. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, he started doing that in Cleveland, really, the second time.
But to say that, you know, like we're seeing that he's human, blah, blah, blah. I feel like
it's both. Right? It's both, Lindsay. He's getting older. There's no question about
it. He is.
That.
You're right. Yeah. But I feel like saying that, signing him to a you know, an extension, you're weary about that because of this. I feel like if the Lakers were good, he would be LeBron.
Well, but The issue is
yes and
is
no. He
old, go ahead, the Kevin. Younger LeBron, at least this is just my perception. Younger LeBron would have put everybody on his back and put a cape on and would have won games.
Correct.
Whereas now almost 38-year-old LeBron is on a team that doesn't have as much talent and they're 3-10 and he's missing games because he's hurt again.
And he's also older, and it's hard. He's going to get injured more, and that's the reality of the situation. Daniel Allen tweets in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust. Hey, that's some super specific advice, Cap.
It really is, but remember, what I said, George.
Now, was it the yoga instructor, the bike rider? Because the bike rider got a lot more run, it felt like, than anyone else in that conversation.
Yeah, I feel like you're like, you have like some kind of personal experience with this.
Find out next. Radio Tinder is up first.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks, Christopher. By the way, Ocean's 11, probably like top three of my favorite movies ever.
By the way, love Bernie Mac, a top 10 stand-up comic for me. Love Bernie Mac as a stand-up. I ain't afraid of y'all mother of a...
Bernie Mac is fantastic. I would also say No Manches about, I mean, it's your movie list, but I mean, Ocean's 11, top three.
I love that movie.
It's a weird movie.
I love it.
You don't even understand.
I love it. I just love like how in a movie like that, where it's like almost like a thriller, how everything comes together at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Has everybody here seen Bernie Mac, Def Comedy Jam, where he says all that? Y'all don't even understand. I ain't afraid of Yama. Anybody seen that?
I probably have, but I don't remember it off the top of my head.
I mean, come on. It's like one of the Bernie Mac, like... It was a Def Comedy Jam. The crowd was killing all the comics, and Bernie Mac just came out and tore it up. Anybody see Dave Chappelle on SNL?
Yes.
I did not,
no. He was very funny.
Yeah, his opening monologue was very funny.
I thought it was funny. People were like outraged over it, and it's like, if you're going to get outraged over that, like, what is comedy anymore?
What have I said about America? The outrage is the new pastime.
I read all that outrage, and I went, I better go watch this for myself, and I saw Dave Chappelle, and I was
it
like,
was
oh my God, this is a great opening monologue.
By the way, you guys don't like Ocean's 11. Have you ever seen
it's not that we don't like it, I just don't think it's like that good. It's
I just
good,
like
it's
how everything comes together at the end and you're like, oh my God, that's crazy. Similar movie, Logan Lucky. Have you ever seen that movie with Channing Tatum and Adam Driver? It's similar where they like try to rob like a NASCAR racetrack like during one of the biggest races of the year.
I have not
it's fantastic.
That.
It's really, really a good movie. So watch that next time you're bored.
Okay.
Logan Paul?
All right,
no, Logan Lucky.
Oh, Logan Lucky.
Logan
what
Paul
do we got, Linz?
Okay. So the American Dental Association, the ADA, of course, is speaking out suggesting that patients refrain from cannabis use before their visits. Mm-hmm. This comes after a recent survey found that more than half of dentists reported that their patients arrive to appointments high on cannabis or another drug. According to researchers, showing up for a dental appointment while you're high can limit the care dentists are able to provide due to the way that cannabis and anesthesia impact the central nervous system.
Oh.
Are you guys people who hate the dentist so much that you need or want to be high? Swipe left or swipe right? Sedano.
No, swipe left. I mean, I just go to the dentist and deal with whatever the ramifications are, and that's it. Yeah.
I'm also swiping left. Not only do I not hate the dentist, I love the dentist. I just got my teeth cleaned about 3 weeks
nobody
ago.
Nobody loves the dentist.
Yes,
no,
I do. I love the dentist.
No memes. You too, Laura?
I love the dentist. Travis loves the dentist. Yeah.
Dentist?
I love the dentist, and I have the best dentist ever. I go back to my dentist in Cleveland. Shout out Dr. Shia, because he's such a good dentist that I love going to him, and he always makes time for me when I go home.
Let me tell you something. I love going to the dentist because I love when the girl cleans my teeth, the hygienist, and she gets in there and I can hear that sound like the chalkboard.
Who loves
and I
can, that?
And
though?
I love the blood in it. Like, make me bleed.
Okay, see that? No. That's
have
just
some kind of gum problems. If your gums are bleeding, that means you have like gingivitis.
Yeah, you have some problems.
That means you better get some of that like extra strength, Crest.
Listerine and all that other stuff.
I just want to ask everybody here a question. Just want to make sure I understand one thing.
Yeah.
Laura, did you go to dental school?
No, I did not.
Lindsay, did you go to dental school?
I did not.
No, but George Sedano,
did you go to dental school?
No, but did you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
no,
common.
You did not.
I just failed out. It's common knowledge, Cap, though.
If your gums bleed, that means there's something wrong. Like you have like gum inflammation or whatever. You need to floss more.
Yeah. I floss a lot. I just want her to go deep. That's all. And hurt
How often do you floss, Cap?
You're not
Every
a player.
Day.
You just
two times a day. I'm a double flosser.
I do too, but that's because I have a water pick and it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh my God, that thing is great. If you don't have
Best
one
ever.
Yes, you need to get that.
Oh, really?
Happy likes the old school. Now, do you use like flossers or the floss?
No. Oh, no, flossers. The ones with the like the little green thing.
Oh, yeah, we've had this discussion. Yeah, those are not good.
They're not. You need the actual string and then you need to
pull it all the way through.
Yes. And then I use my water pick thing too. It's like, it's amazing.
All right, water pick.
My dentist is great.
It's what I need for Christmas.
Yes,
water
that's
pick.
What you need. Yeah. The water pick.
Now we know.
Life changer.
Water pick.
It is.
They even have portable ones that you could take with you now with like little batteries.
Yeah, I have one. The little
please
USB
make sure
charger.
I get the portable one, please.
Okay. So good. And get a better dentist, man, because they're not supposed to hurt.
Oh, no, I want it to hurt.
You're so weird.
I like the gritty polish at the end.
Always extra.
I like the foam. Like once they put the little foam at the end, because like for me, I never get bad news at my dentist, and I hate that my dentist retired, so I need a new one.
Yeah,
so
I've never had a cavity. Fingers crossed. So
never in your whole life.
Never.
My dad is in his late 60s. He'll be 70 next year, and he just had like his first cavity since he had like his baby teeth. Like last week, he has his first cavity.
Yeah, it's called good hygiene, man. Just
crazy.
Hmm.
All right, what's next, Liz?
So the NFL Players Association is calling on 6 venues to change their current playing surfaces. The NFL PA president, J.C. Treader, said on Saturday that the league should ban the slit film playing surfaces that are used in Cincinnati, Detroit, Indy, Minnesota, New Orleans, and New York. They say that the turf in those stadiums results in statistically higher in-game injury rates involving non-contact and lower extremity injuries. So do you guys agree that turf should be banned from NFL stadiums for player safety? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
Swipe left. I do not agree. It does surprise me that the league itself, though, doesn't say this is the turf that we use in, you know, the whole league. Every stadium that uses an unnatural surface, because you mentioned New Orleans, they're indoors. You mentioned Indianapolis, they're indoors. Minnesota is indoors. Cincinnati's outdoors. But most of those venues you mentioned are indoor venues. Why is it that the NFL doesn't say this is the turf we use so that it's the same and it's consistent? Because the data for injuries on a surface should be relatively easy to find.
Well, I think that's the argument that they're making, that in these specific stadiums that
they're using the old school turf or older school turf, basically the slim fit. Right.
Surprises me.
Slit film.
They should all just use
slim
grass.
Fit, like the jeans, you know?
Yeah. They should all just use grass, right?
Well, you can't use grass
in
a lot
in some
of
places than others, yeah. But you can use the extra fancy field turf that you can put in, yeah.
They've got at Dallas or at SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, SoFi, right, exactly. Yeah, it's a perfect example.
I mean, if they can use grass in Cleveland Browns Stadium, they can use it anywhere.
Well, there are certain venues that still have grass. I mean, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, these are places where they still choose to use natural grass. Even in Arizona, it's a dome, but they bring the grass field outside of it.
Yeah, they just like roll it in on like wheelbarrows.
Yeah, but then, you know, some of these older stadiums like the one in New Orleans or the one in Indianapolis might be hard.
Yeah. Brandon Hooper tweets us and says, tell at Lindsay Baseball, Ocean's 11 is one of my favorite movie franchises and Logan Lucky is one of Daniel Craig's best performances.
Thank you.
So there you go. I just told her, Brandon.
Wow, there's a love connection for you right there.
I mean, they are both really good movies.
Yeah.
If you're into that type of thing.
What's next, Liz?
All right, so we got into this a little bit, but I want to get your guys' opinion on something. So Jeff Saturday obviously made his debut as the coach of the Colts on Sunday, helping the team to a 25-20 victory over the Raiders. Well, after the win, Saturday gave an impassioned post-game speech in the locker room, where he was also presented with a game ball by Colts owner Jim Irsay. But here's a little clip of what it sounded like.
Been a hell of a week, man. Been a tough one on all of you. Can't tell you how proud I am of each and every one of you. Coaches, players, staff, everybody stepped up. All three phases, man. Things we talked about. Offense, ran it for over 200. Threw it for over 200. Defense, shut 28 down, 77 yards rushing. Had to make a play on 70 at the end. What we do? Make a play at the end. Make a play at the end. Hardest, the longest, man. That's how this game is decided. The most physical football team won today. Can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Hey, Parks, congrats, man.
Yeah!
Fired up.
So, the Colts players were obviously fired up during the speech, and reports say that they've already started to buy into Saturday and that they feel he could revive the team and help them go on a run. So with the Colts at 4-5 and two games behind the Titans, who lead the AFC South, do you think they still have a shot at the playoffs? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano.
Do they still have a shot at the play? I mean, yeah. I mean, that division is a dumpster fire for the most part. I know the Titans are the best team and have been for a minute, but...
And were the number one seed in the AFC last year.
Yeah, right, but they play in that because they play in that soft division. But the Titans are also dealing with injuries this year. Tannehill's been hurt. You know, Derrick Henry got kind of shut down a little bit yesterday despite them holding on. So they're not unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination. And, yeah, I just think that division, I guess, technically is still winnable. So I'm not going to say completely that – I'm not going to say no completely, but I don't think it's likely is what I would say. So I would swipe – I guess I'm swiping in one direction. I would swipe left still.
I'm also going to swipe left because I believe that there is still a chance. You know, Jeff Saturday is completely fresh blood, and he's got a whole different tone. And the one thing about, you know, I know the coaches are offended. How dare they bring somebody in from television that's never coached,
man,
hasn't
Cowher
gone on
was
the
like
grind.
Ticked about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bill Cowher was sticking up for every guy who's been working for 20 years, who's just still having a hard time getting a coordinator's position, even though he's qualified for it. So I understand what Cowher was doing.
He called it, like, straight up disrespectful.
It's a travesty and all these other things. But Jeff Saturday is a respected guy. He was a Super Bowl champion. He was Peyton Manning's center. He's a football guy. And so even though he chose after his career to not go into coaching and to go into TV, doesn't mean that he can't walk into a locker room and be related or relatable. I mean, what's the difference between Jeff Saturday becoming an NFL head coach and Steve Nash becoming an NBA head coach?
Well, that one also didn't work out so well.
It didn't work out, and this may not work out. No, but you understand what I'm saying is it's very simple. He had the credentials as a player, and that's why they assumed that players would give him respect.
Oh, no, I don't disagree. I agree with that part of it. I also think that would have, and I'm not disagreeing with you. Like, I don't think that it was worth the uproar that it got. Like, I felt like initially I was like, yeah, look, there are probably, and no, I felt like this for sure. There are certainly coaches on that staff, and Marcus Spears said this on ESPN the next day, regardless of whether they're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, what, male, female, that feel like, yo, I've been at this for a really long time. You know what I'm saying? Like, why does he get to cut the line? Like, I can understand those people being upset. That is a normal human reaction.
Right.
But to your point, I feel like it became an overreaction. Like, when Bill Cowher's out there acting a fool on television, like, I felt that was silly.
I just understand why Cowher is offended on behalf of coaches, because coaches grind to get
to
head coaching
jobs. Right,
but again,
Bill Cowher got a TV job with no TV experience.
And that's exactly right. That's exactly my point, that maybe it just goes to show you that the football analyst can go from TV to the sideline no different than the football coach or player can go from the field into the broadcast industry. It might actually work both ways. Believe it or not.
Here's what I would say. You should go on like on one of these shows and like go up against Stephen A. Why don't you just call Stephen A right now and say you want to be on First Take?
Okay.
Jeff Saturday can go and coach a team and win a game. You should be on First Take.
Well, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
I agree.
I feel like the point he's making.
Although I feel like Stephen A would dominate you.
Yeah. You think so?
Oh, my God. If you think Lindsay and Laura and I pound on you.
No. I would love the chance. Don't get me wrong. Stephen A. and I had a radio show together many, many generations ago, and we would go back and forth back then. I would love to do it. No question. I'd love to do it. Just the same way Chris Russo does it or Max Kellerman did it before that. I'd love to do it.
But, you know, I've noticed when he does, like, the radio hits, he's, like, so much more subdued.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a whole different person where he talks with his very
We should have him on again. I haven't had him in a long time. Yeah. Although he's just so busy. Like, I don't want to, I hate bothering him.
I don't care.
He'd totally do it. Yes, you're totally okay.
I don't care. I'll text him right now.
No, do not do that. But you can tell the difference. Like, Cappy is immediately like, yeah, let's have him on. Let's do this.
That's fine by me. I don't care.
Yeah. I'm more like, nah, bro. He's busy. Don't bug him.
I don't feel like I'm bugging him if I text him. You may feel like you're bugging him.
I do. I don't feel like I want to infringe on whatever little time he has.
So well, then you phrase it that way. Hey, man, I know you're busy as hell, but if you can but possibly no do matter 10 what, minutes,
I don't want to infringe on your time, but I'm going to infringe on your time.
No, it's like, hey, man, I know you're busy, but bro, if you can spare 10 minutes, we'd love to have you on. This isn't Kansas City calling. This is LA calling.
He does love us. He always came on with Mason and Ireland, but again, I feel like we stopped having.
Although
him on because
he did,
he's so
he did kind of give Mason Ireland the side eye one time.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I'll tell that story on the other side. You were part of their show at that time.
If it's the time you're talking about, which who knows?
Yeah,
how
I'd
many
say
times.
They've talked about it. This is not like a secret.
Yeah.
So we can do that on the other side. Plus, I let me get back to the Lakers. We never actually did the topic in the 15 segment. How can the Lakers salvage the season? I do think there's a little slither of hope, and I want to get into the Chargers and Niners too. I know Cappy has to have a million thoughts since he thinks he can replace Brandon Staley already.
Why not?
All coming up in just a moment. Have you ever actually listened to Yanni, by the way?
Can't really say that I have.
Me neither. Although I know exactly who he is.
Yeah, I kind of confuse Yanni with Bocelli.
No, completely different sounds.
I know, but that goes to show you I don't know anything about Yanni. Now, Bocelli I've seen in concert now since I've seen him.
He's one of the three tenors, for God's sake.
Man, who, Yanni? No, the Bocelli.
The Bocelli.
Yeah. But he got that song that was in Step Brothers. The one about the Catalina wine.
The wine mixer, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That song, yeah. So yeah. When he sang it at this concert that I saw him at, I was like the one song I was like, yeah, I know this song. Yeah.
Yanni's more of a jazz guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know Yanni at all. Don't know his work.
I like know his name, and I feel like maybe if I heard a song, I'd be like, oh, okay. But like, I don't know. I can't associate him with like
me
his
neither.
Music.
Yanni is actually Greek. It's actually Yannis Chrysomalis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like you know a lot about him.
I only know that. I just know he's Greek. I know his real name, and that's pretty much it. Before I get to the Lakers, I'm going to Eugene this weekend to call this Utah game.
Oh, goodness gracious, man. Oh, come on, dude. You know, Oregon and Utah this weekend, right?
Yeah.
UCLA and USC this weekend, right?
They all screwed it up.
Well, I mean, at least Oregon and UCLA did. And I knew, I said it to you last week, and I said it to DeMarco on Friday. I'm very worried about UCLA underestimating Arizona and looking ahead to USC.
Yep, Jetfish.
And I can't tell you for sure if they were looking ahead, but I can tell you that it's very easy to look an Arizona team, overlook an Arizona team. I've seen them play a couple times this year. They're not as bad as their record.
They're not. There's some talent there. And Jed Fish, former UCLA coach, right? So he's familiar with UCLA. And there's a little revenge factor there. Yeah, they blew it. I watched that one on the plane. I couldn't believe it. I didn't get a chance to watch the Washington-Oregon game because I was busy driving back from South Carolina, from Columbia to Charlotte. But and I was listening to the Alabama game. But that UCLA, I couldn't. I called Bergman this morning. He was so mad. So,
well, what you know what it makes me mad about is not so much UCLA. It's the USC angle to it all. You see,
right.
With USC now not having UCLA as a highly ranked opponent that people actually respect, that people are going to look at UCLA and they're going to. So even if USC
gotta win,
crush
right. They got to crush them. They shouldn't. They don't have to crush them.
But even if USC does crush UCLA,
no, not you know crush what? Though.
No. But let's just say, for example,
let's
that they win by 30 points.
30? Okay?
Yeah, I'm just giving you. I'm saying they blow them out. Right?
Oh, they're going to be mad. All the Bruin fans. Laura's going to be very upset.
I'm just giving an example here.
No, they're going to believe it's true.
Okay, look. If USC beats up on UCLA the way they did against Colorado, okay, you know what people are going to say? They're
going to
say, yeah, it's not that USC's so good, it's that UCLA's so bad.
Oh.
And so from a USC perspective, USC actually needed UCLA to win this weekend so that if they're going
to
have a real chance
to get
into the playoff.
Yeah, to be one-loss teams together, basically.
This is what the Pac-12 does to itself.
The old switcheroo.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's going to be cold as a mofo.
Really?
Yeah, bro. When I'm doing that game in that booth, it's going to be like 30 degrees at like game time, like 35 degrees.
Who else is in that booth with you?
Tom Ramsey, former, speaking of UCLA, former UCLA legend at quarterback.
All right.
Yeah.
And this is on radio?
It is on ESPN Radio, on all many right. fine affiliates and SiriusXM Channel 80.
Very nicely done.
I might be on this. It might actually be on this station, actually. Yeah, it is, actually. Bergman told me they're carrying that game.
We're airing Oregon and in Utah?
Yeah, we got nothing else on Saturday. There's no Lakers.
All right. Let's do it.
It's going to be me, baby.
Let's do it.
So, freezing my booty
off. Tuchus. Your tuchus.
Yeah, my tuchus. Yeah.
Good job.
I can't believe Oregon lost, though. That really, because at least Oregon, if Oregon against a two-loss Utah team, like that feels good, right? Like one loss, two loss, is still something. The Pac-12 totally shot themselves in the
game. No, they do it to themselves all the time.
Every damn
time. Late season upsets, right.
Ah!
Yeah, but the Arizona over UCLA was even worse.
Yeah, that was way worse for sure. I'm giving you that. So the Lakers. Cappy?
Yep.
If LeBron and AD can get on the same page and they actually make a move,
mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, we had two previous seasons of them being on the same page totally fine. And then last year in a limited sample size, not having great minutes together. And this year, not great either. Like, it's okay, but it's not great. So I feel like there needs to be some sort of come to Jesus moment with them to figure it out on the floor, which I think they can. But the rest of this group needs to be altered. And if they can do that, I don't think they'll be complete cellar dwellers, and I think they can even be in that play-in, playoff mix. Now, I feel fairly confident as long as those two guys are healthy that they'll be in that mix. But, like, I'm looking at this right now. Like, you're going to tell me, you're telling me that the Lakers can't be in the play-in when Sacramento and Oklahoma City at the moment are in there?
I mean, Sacramento did just come down to L.A. and beat the Lakers.
And by the way, I heard that Sliwa had a bet that he lost with Taylor, their board op. Taylor's a Kings fan. Mm-hmm. And Sliwa was supposed to wear a Kings jersey. He wore it for like 3 minutes, and that was it. How come they didn't make him wear it for the whole show?
Well, what was the bet?
That he had to wear the Kings jersey.
He wore it for like the first segment, and then he took it off.
What the hell? What kind of bet is that?
I don't know.
That's Taylor's fault. He did not probably specify the rules, and Slee just got a loophole out of it.
No, I would have said, if I were Taylor, I'd be like, yo, you got to wear the whole thing.
Well, yeah, but if he didn't, then, you know, Slee actually paid his bet. He wore it. He wasn't told how long, and he took it off.
Knowing Taylor, though, he's such a nice guy, he probably didn't want to start any trouble.
I would have been like, nah, bro. Like, if it would have been capping me and he had to wear something Dodger, I'd be like, you wearing it for 2 weeks.
Right.
Two weeks, bro.
She would have been like, nah, bro. And then I would have said, if I would have won, I'd be like, nah, sis, you got to wear that doo-doo brown.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that bet.
Oh, because you don't want to take that risk.
No, because the doo-doo brown don't look good on me. So, you
doo-doo
know,
brown.
No, not doing that. Mm-mm.
So, George, you're telling me.
I'm telling you.
That the Lakers snapped another 5-game losing streak, and their record is 3-10. And today, all of a sudden, you're showing up like Mr. Optimistic?
No, I'm not. They're not that good. They need to make. What I'm saying is, if you want to salvage this season, you have to do it now. Like, you can't wait any longer. Like, they're 3-10, bro. They're not going to get that much better. Like, they have to make a move sooner rather than later. This is no longer a let's wait and see kind of situation, despite the fact that, because I know what's going to happen. Oh, they play Detroit and San Antonio, and they play San Antonio 3 times in the next 5 games. And yeah, okay, in theory, you should win, hell, probably all 3, but at least 2 of those San Antonio games. You should win the Detroit game, and Indiana's also tanking in the next 6. So you got to go at least 3-3. And if you run the risk that if you don't, then teams realize how desperate you really are, which is not good for them.
I'm not so sure I really want the Lakers to make a big move right now, because as much as you're talking about salvaging the season, I'm actually thinking about the next 2 seasons. I'm thinking about getting done with this season,
bro,
getting Russ's money back.
Did you not read the Chris Haynes report?
Yeah, I read it.
I mean, he said basically that, like, LeBron's not going to want them to stand pat, dude. Wait.
I thought LeBron's not in charge.
Well, he's not going to be happy about it. He's not in charge. But here's the thing. Why are you saying, I thought LeBron's not in charge, when clearly if he was in charge, they would have made a move by now, you
world?
Well, all I'm telling you is that if LeBron's unhappy and that's the report,
yeah.
Hey, look, I'm really sorry, LeBron. I'm sorry you're unhappy, but I don't want to trade these two picks. I'd rather wait and get to the end of this season.
Wait,
and then
but
we'll
that's
load
not
up for the next 2 years.
Okay, do you want to role play? You want to be Rob?
Depends. Who are you going to be?
I'm going to be LeBron again.
God, I don't want to be Rob. All right, go ahead. I'll be Rob.
All right, let's do it on the other side.
All right.